If you've watched a documentary film in the theater lately, perhaps you know the sound of approving mmms and ahs. Maybe you've even made a few happy sounds yourself at the sight of a glacier melting or a poignant moment of penguin love. Documentaries are hot right now. They've even made Al Gore a star. But not everyone is so enamored. Joe Queenan writes, and I quote, "They suck." Joe joins us today from his home in New York. We also want to hear from you. Do you hate movie documentaries? Why or why not? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org, or you can post a comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joe Queenan is the author of several books of questionable humor, most recently True Believers, The Tragic Inner Life of Sports Fans, and he joins us today from New York. Joe, nice to talk to you again.
Nice to be here.
And we live in a golden age of documentaries, political documentaries, nature documentaries. What do you have against global warming or penguins?
Well, you know, the thing that interests me is that the conversational agenda in the country used to be set by dramatic films like Gentleman's Agreement, which was about anti-Semitism, mm-hmm. or Erin Brockovich, or Born on the 4th of July, or The Days of Wine and Roses. And now, increasingly, that conversation is being dominated by movies like An Inconvenient Truth. And what occurred to me is that even though we're living in this golden age where they're making some money, they don't make the kinds of money that Hollywood cares about.
Mm-hmm.
So the Spider-Man 3 made more money the first 20 minutes it was out than Fahrenheit 9/11 did the whole time it was out. So the question to me is, if you're not seeing these movies, are you not in fact being cut out of important national conversations the way I am? Because I would rather have, I'd rather be impaled on rhino horns than go to see documentaries. To me, as soon as you say documentary, I just think sixth period gym at Cardinal Dougherty High School, your teacher's sick, so go down and watch a USDA film about the boll weevil.
I think those of us roughly about your age remember that particular picture. And what effect it had on my life there on 101st Street?
You know, when I was in high school, I went to Catholic school, and there were special documentaries only made for Catholics. So we had things like the Maria Goretti story, or Who Was St. John Bosco, or movies about the foundations of the Jesuits. And I used to feign diphtheria to avoid having to go on the buses to go to see those things, because to me it was not just homework, it was Catholic homework. It was just painful. And I still feel the same way. I mean, as soon as I saw that this movie with Al Gore in it was a hit, I just thought, boy, something's going on in this country. I was out of the country while this was happening, when Al Gore here's the point. Okay, $12 to see Al Gore do PowerPoint? No, not ever in my lifetime.
Yet the days of Nanook of the North, documentaries were an important part of film history, and they still give out Academy Awards, both for long ones and short ones.
That's great. But they don't give out. But they're not getting any of my money, and they're not getting any money apparently from any of my friends. Because I've suggested, sort of tongue-in-cheek, hey, let's go see a movie about penguins, or let's go see a movie about global warming. And people basically just say they would rather see the worst Ashton Kutcher movie. They'd rather see a Kevin Costner movie where he plays a serial killer than see a documentary. And I think part of the reason for this is, you know, when the Al Gore movie came out, An Inconvenient Truth, so many people started talking about the threat to our environment. And, you know, I had read about that before. I was sure that the Washington Post or the New York Times had done an article sometime in the last 20 years saying that there were troubles with the environment. And similarly with the Michael Moore movie, which is basically about how the Bush administration lies, I had heard that. I had read that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was in The Nation.
Could have been. The point of these movies, you also write, is not necessarily to persuade anybody.
Well, I think that one thing about these movies is that there's not a great deal of overlap between people who are... Teenagers aren't going to see these movies, so teenagers are sort of being cut out of some of these conversations. But also, I don't think that there are any documentaries made on the right. You know, Michael Moore's movie is a very left-wing movie. An Inconvenient Truth is a Republican-bashing movie. And I'm not suggesting that Republicans make documentaries, because that's a scary idea. But it's just that it seems to be pretty much preaching to the converted. And it doesn't seem to me that you're going to get any of the kids or you're going to get any of the other people on the other side to watch these things, that basically documentaries appeal to people who... people who think of culture as sort of like a vegetable that you have to swallow.
Let's, as opposed to movies, which are vegetables like you have to swallow and pay $12 for.
Movies, however, have slender females, slender young females. Documentaries have fat middle-aged men. So for my $12, I'm going with the slender females every time.
Let's get some listeners involved in this conversation. Our guest is Joe Queenan, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Sarah's on the line. Sarah joining us from Rochester, New York.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
I'm good, thanks.
I want to emphatically disagree with Joe. I'm sorry to say. I think documentaries are really the crucial piece of information in our culture because we are so visual, because folks are so used to television and movies to get information. A lot of folks don't read the way that you might read, Joe, or the way that I read. And teenagers are brought into the conversation by adults like myself who will use the documentary on DVD and get a discussion going about the information that's contained within it. An Inconvenient Truth being a great example of that. And it actually changed my mother's mind about global warming by forcing her to watch that film with me because she wouldn't read any of the material that I brought. So I think that there's great value in documentaries, especially in a very visual culture.
In a very visual culture, and maybe that, Joe, is, as Sarah suggests, where you get the kids involved.
Absolutely.
You know, I have two kids. One's 23, one's 20. If I made them watch a movie with Al Gore in it, they'd strangle me and I'd give them the rope. I would feel that I had raised children badly if my children would actually watch a movie with Al Gore in it. Because here's the thing. If you're going out to see a movie, you should go out to see a movie that's going to be entertaining, like Pirates of the Caribbean. So if documentaries were free, that would be a different thing. I still wouldn't go to see them, but other people might. I like the idea of having documentaries on television because then I can just ignore them. But the idea of paying to see Al Gore talk about icebergs just suggests to me that something's wrong in this society. We took a wrong turn somewhere.
Do you think it's a waste of money for people to buy nonfiction books?
I don't think it's a waste of time for people to buy nonfiction books. I do think it's a waste of time for them to buy nonfiction books by Al Gore.
Oh,
you know, the thing that fascinates me about this is, I was in Los Angeles about 14 months ago, and I was at a party, and there were a bunch of entertainment industry people there, and they had just come from an afternoon showing of An Inconvenient Truth, and I thought people in L.A. were cool. I mean, if people in Burlington, Vermont went to see An Inconvenient Truth in the middle of the afternoon, that would make sense. But when people in L.A. start going to see documentaries, particularly ones with Al Gore in them, in the middle of the afternoon, I don't think L.A. is cool anymore.
Well, I appreciate your comments, and I know I probably need to get off the line, but I would suggest if you have a chance to read another book, a nonfiction book that you might find interesting, there's one by Neil Postman called Entertaining Ourselves to Death or Amusing Ourselves.
Years ago.
Yep.
Excuse me. Have you read that?
I read it years ago.
Okay. You might want to reread it because it's really, really, I think, relevant.
He's waiting for the documentary film to come out.
Exactly.
There you
waiting
go.
For the one with
Ignore it.
Sarah,
all right. Thanks so much.
Thanks
Bye.
So much for the call, Sarah. Let's see if we can get this is Mark's on the line. Mark calling us from Sacramento.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes, I just would also like to disagree with the gentleman because there is so much information available in so many different types of media and films being one of them. I think there's a large gap in the reality of science and cultures around us, and we put ourselves in these boxes of, you know, who's going to be a millionaire and which box does the money contain. And I think that we need to be aware of basically things that are going on around us.
Well, those
to return to my original point, if the first time people heard about the global warming problem was when An Inconvenient Truth came out, then this really is one dumb country. Because the news has been around for a long time. It wasn't like Al Gore just discovered that. But to get to the second point about the science, a lot of scientists who study these things will just tell you, even though they're happy that Gore made the movie because it's gotten people to talk about this, it's filled with faulty science. It's filled with absurd claims.
Well, I'm a doctor of pathology, so actually I'm quite well-versed in the scientific community. And I know that there are also people from the other side of the issue who would have us believe that this is not an issue, or that don't worry about this, don't worry about that. So I think that, you know, And as far as like the money, paying the money to go see the movie in the theater, I got it through Netflix, so I don't know what it breaks down to per viewing, but it certainly wasn't $12 or whatnot.
All right.
Another very quality show on right now was what is it called? Planet Earth on Discovery Channel.
But
that is an amazing show, and I would consider that a documentary, but also very worth watching.
It also doesn't charge you; you just have to turn on your TV set.
Correct.
Yeah. I don't know if you had a chance to see that, Joe, but very nice photography in that. And by the way, thanks for the call, Mark.
Well, I return to an earlier theme, that time is money. And I would just worry about myself if I started watching programs like that. I would just worry that the point had come where I didn't have anything better to do with my time than to watch those things. And that applies to all of these things. I mean, I have appeared in documentaries. I'm in a documentary called I, Curmudgeon, that's made by a guy from Canada, and he sent me a copy of it. Well, I'm not going to watch it. I mean, I don't mind being in documentaries, but I'm not going to watch them.
It is, you wrote, like homework.
Excuse me?
You said it was like homework.
It was exactly like homework. It was exactly like being back in sixth period in 1966, watching the movie about the perils of teenage driving while you were transmitting sexual diseases.
Joe Queenan, thanks very much. Appreciate your time.
You bet.
Joe Queenan joined us today by phone from his home in New York. He's the author of True Believers, The Tragic Inner Life of Sports Fans. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.